Yeah.
What was that saying, Ben?
Pioneers get the arrows, settlers get the gold.
Welcome to Edit Radio.
Hitching over the country, passing by old friends, revving up to all kinds of weather. We've got money to spend. Me and my friend Cecil, we're two of a kind, roaming over these roads forever like ghosts of an unchanged time. An unchanged time. Call us gypsy, others call us thieves, but we go where the music takes us. Must be some kind of disease. Me and my friend Cecil, are we two of a kind? Roam over these roads forever like ghosts of an unchanged time. An unchanged time.
Morning, good welcome to Edit Radio with Ben and Paul and Tom.
Evening.
That was hello.
Evening. Hello.
That Hi. Was Martin Stevenson and the Dainties and a song called Cecil. From his most recent album that came at the end of 2019. But that's a really old song. I remember him playing that in the 80s.
Right. But so it came from jauntier times.
Very jaunty times, as you can hear.
Yeah.
And finally released it. How you doing? I've seen you guys quite recently, so I'm not even going to catch up and say how are you, because I only saw you at the weekend.
Yeah, really? It seems like a long time ago now. Water under the bridge since then, you know.
Yeah, I'm okay. I'm still getting over the cold that I had at
You're
the weekend.
You're still sniffing.
The cold.
Just sniffing and spluttering and coughing and sneezing.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't remember when we played a gig at the weekend.
Played
right?
a gig
we
the weekend.
Yeah.
We played a house gig.
It was pretty cool, wasn't it?
It was quite cool. So a friend of ours, Sam, lives in East Oxford.
Thank you, Sam.
Thanks, Sam.
Shout out to Sam.
He puts on these gigs 3-4 times a year. About 50 or 60 people cram into the front of his house and sit and listen with rapt attention to 3 acts that play through the night. And we were the first up.
It was very nice. It was a very intimate, generous audience.
Lovely audience, yes.
Yeah. And we were rewarded handsomely as a band, weren't we?
Handsomely with a very fine vintage champagne.
Let's not talk about this. I mean,
which we are looking forward to enjoying as soon as we can. Did you bring it home, Ben?
Because Ben, when you said you had a cold, I thought you were going to say I had a terrible hangover.
Well, why would you think I had a hangover? I was quite ill, so I wouldn't have been drinking really that night.
I suppose that's true. Yeah.
I mean,
you get terribly dehydrated.
I see what you're driving at. I mean, you two left relatively early.
We
in the
had
night.
Yes,
yeah. And I was there holding the baby, or the custodian of the champagne.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, as you left, champagne. I recall saying to you, "Take this, and drink it." And you said, "No, you have it." And and then it sat there upstairs. Mm. At a certain point in the evening, when the music had long since finished and the beer had long since run out, I had a brainwave.
Right.
Okay. A brainwave fueled by many, many cans of IPA.
Mm. Right, right.
You know, hipster IPA.
Nice
that
cans.
Kind of thing I was drinking. Yeah, They'd all gone. Yeah. I suddenly recalled there was a delicious bottle of warm champagne.
Can I just say,
waiting upstairs.
It wasn't just a bottle. This was a sort of bottle of champagne that came in a box.
It was a nice bottle of champagne. Yeah,
we were highly rewarded with
good champagne, and then I triumphantly brought it into the gathering at 2 a.m. saying, "Look, I found some more booze."
So, how many people were left at 2 a.m.? Just yourself?
Yes, it was just me.
Couldn't you have your intention?
I drank it. alone, and
I'm sure you could have found some lighter fluid, or something more.
That came after.
Appropriate for that time of evening.
I was sobbing my way through the contents.
Was it good quality?
Sam's under sink. No.
Was it very nice?
It was. Well, it was a bit warm, and we drank it in pint glasses that had recently held beer. I think it went between about three or four of us.
Do you think that wasn't really how that bottle of champagne thought it was going to? Its life was going to pan out, really,
well,
was it?
The vintner who produced that 20 years ago, whenever
it
was.
All that time spent.
He had high hopes for that bottle of champagne.
You know.
It was going so well.
All that sunlight, the only way natural to drink resources.
The only way to drink champagne.
Beautiful green grass.
Is on a whim, right?
On a whim.
That's the only way to drink champagne.
That's a nice way to put it, man.
Mm. Yeah. Just, we've got some champagne.
Did you just, break the top of the bottle off and go,
with a sword.
Against the wall.
Well, we left early. We didn't stay for the champagne. Paul and I had to go to another party. We had a two-party night, which was exciting.
Yeah.
And so, we were drinking quite a nice ale, weren't we?
Oh, very nice.
I feel less bad now. Good. Okay.
Generals.
Generals. Yeah, Marlow Brewery. It was called General's Ale.
It's because it's the beer of Chesham United.
Chesham United,
who are the Generals.
Also known as the Generals.
Oh,
it was
I see.
Very
They've
drinkable,
got their own
beer. Wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And Adam, whose party it was, is a big fan of the Chesham.
Thanks for having us. It was a right old knees up.
Yeah. Wow.
Pretty sure I heard a bit of Tiffany coming down from the decks, oozing out of the speakers.
It was Kylie. There was Tiffany. Mm-hmm.
Was it Colin on the decks?
He was, but he got ousted by local legend Richard Strange.
Mm. Oh, it was Richard that was playing Tiffany?
Yeah.
What, was it? I think we're alone now. Is that Tiffany?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
We're alone now. Yeah.
It was a quality disco.
Yeah. Good tune.
The guest of honour, Adam, didn't stop dancing.
No, it was impressive.
Wow. Did you go back to his house afterwards? Everyone cleared
off. Yeah, briefly. I had a bit chilly back there. Yeah. Some people were quite ill.
Yeah, good.
Yeah,
good.
So we had to leave by the back door.
What, people were ill after the chili?
No. Those two things aren't connected.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I just, both of those things happened. I think the illness was down to too much beer, often is.
Yeah. Well, we had two nights out in one night. It sounds like you did too, Ben,
in the one
house.
I did, yeah, I did.
We'd gone, you really kind of let loose.
Yeah.
Did you do your own set after we went?
Do you know
what? What
happens? I've been to a few of these gigs, and what happens is there's the three main acts, right? And everyone sits and listens quietly. And then Sam always tries to encourage people that are coming along to be in the audience to bring instruments if they want to sort of jam afterwards. And so there's often a late night kind of session that goes on. And he asked if I'd play a fiddle tune. And I think this might have been post-champagne.
Oh, no.
And so halfway through the tune, I just had to abandon. I got my fiddle out. I started playing. I thought, no, I've had too much champagne. And I abandoned it halfway through. So
you didn't recognise the instrument in your hand?
No.
It was a foreign body.
It was a strange object in my hand making awful noises. I abandoned that. So in answer to your question, no, I didn't play a set. I wisely abandoned it after about 30 seconds. It was a good night. So I think Band of Hope collectively enjoyed ourselves.
We had a great time.
It was very good Saturday night.
Thanks very much, Sam. Yeah. And thanks very much, Adam.
Mm. Yeah.
We should play a song for them.
What are we going to play next?
I can't remember, but it's for them. I'll tell you about it afterwards.
This is for you.
Gauntlets coming up, call the cops, let them know we're out there. Hard pressed to fine tune, turn and take the keys, why don't you look away from that, leaning way into my left side. the past life. Can't decide half the time who're the good and bad guys. Hard pressed to fine tune. Turn and take the keys. Why don't you look away from that? Leaning way to my left side.
What have my ears just been listening to?
I love that. I absolutely love that. So this is a band called Mike Adams At His Honest Weight. And the album's called There Is No Feeling Better. And that's the first track off it called Pressing Mesh.
The band are called Mike Adams At His what?
Honest Weight.
That's a band name?
That's the band name. I mean, I don't know very much about them. I believe Mike Adams is the singer and writes all the songs. I think it is actually a band, though, rather than just Mike Adams, who is At His Honest Weight. Wikipedia tells me they're an indie rock band from Bloomington, Indiana, who've been active since 2011. I can't remember how I stumbled across them on the internet. Bandcamp, probably. Maybe like some album review, a link. I can't remember.
You're obsessed with just finding music, aren't you, Ben?
Quite obsessed,
Just wherever you go, you just, you know.
Yeah.
I'll have some of that music. Oh, some champagne there. I'll have that as well. I want some more music.
Yeah, just...
He's like a music detectorist. He's on the hunt, isn't he?
That's exactly what's going on.
Musical detectorist.
It is quite addictive, don't you find? Thrill music. Of discovering a new band, you've never heard of them, and you hear a track and you think, that's great, I like that. Yeah. And you get the album and you think, that one that I loved so much, that's not even my favourite track now. Mm. And then you realise they've had another 10 albums out over the last 15 years. And you've got this kind of gold mine there waiting to be explored.
A new seam to explore.
A new seam and your gold mine, exactly.
It's like, yeah.
So I do like that. It's
kind
very
of archaeology.
Yeah, and the internet just means, you know, you open Google Chrome and you get to the end of the night and you've got like 25 tabs open and you don't want to close any of them because, you know, in each one there's some nugget of gold.
waiting to be
discovered. So,
that's good.
Yeah, I am addicted to searching.
Nice tune,
I
liked it,
music.
Yeah.
But I love that. I think it is an example of a fairly perfect indie pop song. I just love everything about it. It's so good.
We were saying there's bits of... Sort of reminds me of the Decemberists.
Yep.
But also some of that early 90s grungy Seattle scene as well.
Yes.
You know, well, not even the grungy stuff, but there's some great songwriting like Brendan Benson or...
Sure.
What's his name? Played the piano. He was good. Reminds me of him a bit. Not Elton John.
Not Ben Folds.
Ben Folds, that was
right.
It.
Right, yeah.
It's either Ben Folds or Elton John.
I see what you're saying. And it's,
Oh, yeah, the two piano players.
I can't think of anyone else. Richard Clayderman.
Oh, yeah, Clayderman.
Victoria Wood.
Okay, there's four. There's four pianists.
God bless her. Love Victoria Wood.
Anyway, sorry, way off.
And the Beatles in the riff, right?
It's a very
obvious hat tip to Andrew Bird can
really,
sing.
Yeah.
I feel. And I love that woozy guitar sound. It's like a very precise and perfect pop song, slightly off kilter, I think, if you listen to it. It's slightly, you know, it's slightly askew in places, and I like that very much about it.
I'll replay it when I listen back to the podcast.
Man,
we're recording this a lot earlier than usual. We usually like to record our podcast at the last minute, if not after the last minute, yeah, by a couple of days.
Yes.
Do you know, that's always the best way to deal with a deadline, isn't it? You start work on the deadline.
Yeah.
You don't, because I can't usually motivate myself before a deadline. But once I know it's just passed, I'm like, better start the work now.
But we're a few days early. We're actually recording this the day before Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Only 2 days after Ben Marwood's podcast was released, and I haven't even listened to that yet. So
sure.
Wow. So hopefully he was great as usual.
And we're doing this early because we've all got big Valentine's plans coming up,
right? Yeah. You're off to Venice, aren't you, Paul, for Valentine's?
Oh, yeah, for the rest of the month. Going to Venice for a month.
To celebrate Valentine's.
With Hazel. The boys are just going to fend for themselves at home. Boys, you know.
Maybe the first time.
Love is the greatest thing, and, you know, we have to concentrate on that. So, you know.
Good parenting.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, yeah. They'll learn something from it.
They will.
Yeah. Abandoning children always. It's character
very,
building.
It's very good for them.
The ones that survive will have learned from the experience.
Exactly, yeah.
So, any tips for Valentine's Day, Ben?
Everyone at work is seemingly came back from their lunch break today with a Marks and Spencer's carrier bag saying £20 for the Valentine's Day meal for two.
No way.
Okay, you get a bottle of Prosecco. You get a main, you get a side, I think you get a salad, and you get a pudding, all for £20, Marks and Sparks. That's my Valentine's Day tip.
And is the local Benson Garage...
A bottle of Prosecco's worth £12 alone. That's what they were all telling me at work.
Look who's
today.
Got a hunger for fizzy wine.
All right, lads. I wasn't thinking straight, okay?
Weekend, did you?
I wasn't thinking straight.
Wasn't in my right mind.
it was bad me that comes out after midnight. Mm. It wasn't good me that's around now.
So does the local Benson Garage, are they doing the deal? Because that's a Marks and Spencer's
garage.
I don't
know, because I think their pricing structure is from an economic area that's not aligned with the rest of
the UK. So I'll have to go to the UK.
Should we call them up, find out?
We could do, yeah.
Are you participating in the Valentine's
the
evening?
Valentine.
£20, yeah.
We might have left it too late, though.
Do you think?
Tomorrow's Valentine's Day.
Is it? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I knew that.
Yeah.
Yes, sorry. Yeah, I'm off to Venice. I forgot about that.
You're going to Scotland, Tom?
Yep.
Can you talk about that, or is it a secret mission?
I am going to, as usual, this time of year, I like to go skiing in Aviemore.
Are you abandoning any members of your family to do that?
No, I'm lying. I've never been skiing in my life.
Haven't you? Right.
But you are going to Scotland?
Yeah, my family are flying to Inverness and, yes, traversing the Highlands for a couple of days.
Walking?
Driving across the Highlands to see some friends and then coming back again.
I thought you were going on some sort of bleak walking holiday.
No, it was just a good word traversing.
February.
Walking holidays are brilliant, aren't they?
Are they?
We're going to go all the way up to the Highlands and stay in for 3 days and then come all the way back.
Right, that sounds good. It'll probably
be very bleak weather-wise.
Yeah.
Storm Dennis or whatever his name is.
Oh, yeah. That's looking good, isn't it?
One.
Yeah, it's looking good.
Anyway, Paul, let's look at the song you've chosen. Hi there.
What is that song?
The song is Damaged Goods by Gang of Four.
Gang of Four, topically. Yes. Andy Gill, guitarist from Gang of Four, died just recently. I don't know that much of their output, but I know the first two albums quite well. Mm-hmm. And there's something, I love the kind of aggression and tautness in his guitar playing, and had a huge influence, I think, on a lot of other bands, including XTC. Or perhaps they influenced each other around the time of...
That really taut, funky sound was his, wasn't it? Really?
Yeah, beautiful.
And this is Damaged Goods.
It is indeed. And they're from Leeds, which has to commend them, I feel, given that Leeds United are the greatest football team
the world has ever seen.
Yeah.
How are you judging that greatness? By results? Or?
It's from the heart, Ben.
Okay.
It's what I feel in my heart.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I tried to get involved there with a bit of football bants, and I'm not very good at it because I love playing football. I don't really follow it. So my jibe was based on the fact that I don't think Leeds do that well at the results of the football game.
The results of the football. Well, they're second in the championship at the moment.
Okay, I'll take it back.
They've had a lean run.
Okay.
They're kind of hanging on in the automatic promotion places. They've got a legendary manager, Marcelo Bielsa.
Okay.
Who is so legendary that Pep Guardiola once travelled, I think... made a 16-hour trip to Argentina to visit Bielsa and talk tactics.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
So, yeah.
Stand corrected.
Yeah.
I take my...
He is a legend. He's very stubborn.
Yeah.
Which may or may not yield results. We are yet to see.
Well, I take my ill-judged, ill-advised jibe back.
But he has a very aggressive kind of pressing style, which is very exciting to watch.
Well, how did we get here? What are we playing? Oh, yeah, Gang of Four.
Gang of Four, yeah.
From Leeds.
Leeds. Gang of Four.
Okay, here are Leeds United fans all over the world. This is for you. Visceral.
Yeah.
What was the word you used?
It's abrasive. I like it.
Abrasive.
Mm.
And compact.
Taut, abrasive.
Taut.
Yeah.
There's no no extraneous matter whatsoever, is
absolutely.
There?
It's also, yeah, it seems quite functional.
Yeah.
You know, everything's there for a reason.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing's wasted. It's absolutely.
No, absolutely.
A brilliant, perfect song.
Mm.
Love that.
Cool. So, what do we got? What have we got coming up? Did anyone do a Bruce Springsteen cover? We talked about that last month.
No,
I did.
Because we knew you would.
Because I'm so keen.
Because you're
so eager to please,
exactly.
And obviously need validation all the time.
Good.
So yeah, I have.
We relied on all of those things.
Yeah,
and you just knew,
didn't you? That.
We knew it would happen.
Yeah. Maybe I'll wait for a bit.
We knew Swatty Crook would.
Yeah.
I never did my homework.
Would do his homework. I've been working on a few ideas though, but I think Paul and I are both looking at doing the same song, so I might
I might go a different way.
Versions of are just as acceptable. That's okay.
I've looked at three so far.
Oh, have you? Okay. Yeah, I've only looked at one. I've been
thinking
of doing a very folky version of something.
Okay.
Well, that's to look forward to coming up. We won't. We'll just. This is a little teaser for
absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. We won't say which particular.
I'm going to play a song now by Daniel Johnson. Obviously, we all know he died last year, 2019. But this is an album that's just come out from a live concert he did in Chicago in 2017 with Tweedy as his backing band. And this is his phenomenal song, Worried Shoes, which was in the movie Where the Wild Things Are. And Karen O did a cover of it in that movie.
Great.
So you'll know it's a great song.
Great soundtrack to that movie. Yeah. I hated that film.
Did you? I didn't.
Really a lot.
The soundtrack was great, wasn't it?
The soundtrack was really, really good. Did you either of you watch the film?
Didn't see it.
It's a hateful film. I would not recommend it to anybody.
Didn't live up to the book.
The book is the most one of the most wonderful children's books ever written, and they've somehow turned it into a. I don't even know how to describe it, but they've taken all the joy and the fun and the exuberance out of it and reduced it to this sad, bleak, moany, awful thing, but with a killer soundtrack. An absolutely killer soundtrack. Okay. So, and also, I would highly recommend to people that have young children. It's not a kids' film. It's a kids' book.
Right, right, right. Mm.
Do not show it to your young children. It will make them cry. It's horrible. Anyway, that's my impassioned plea against Where the Wild Things Are.
Excellent.
Yeah. Well, sorry to this isn't the version in the film, but this song is in the film.
Sorry, I don't know where that came from.
Just the title alone is a classic.
Is that a new feature?
What?
Films of children's books that we hate.
This. Yeah.
Okay, let's listen to Daniel Johnson while you think of a few more.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll come back with that list.
I took my lucky break and broke it in two. Put on my worried shoes, my worried shoes. And my shoes took me so many miles and they never wore out. My worried shoes. My worried shoes. Oh, 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 oh. My worried shoes. I made a mistake and I never forgot. I tied knots in the laces of my worried shoes. And with every step that I take, I remember my mistake. As I march further and further away in my worried shoes. Oh, oh. Worried shoes. And my shoes took me down a crooked path, away from all welcome mats. My worried shoes. Then one day I looked around and I felt the sun shining down, and that took off my worried shoes. And my feet were free to breathe the air. I didn't need to care and worry, 'cause I've got a lot of walking to do, and I don't wanna wear my worry. shoes. Oh, 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 oh. My worried shoes. Thank you. Chicago!
Thank you. Yeah, thank you, Chicago, says Daniel Johnson.
It's nice.
Yeah, it's lovely, lovely. I think there's going to be a lot more releases. I think there's a lot of material yet to come out from Daniel Johnson, posthumously. But if it's as good as that, I'm quite happy to keep buying it.
I don't know a lot about him. You were saying, Tom, that he's quite a curious figure.
Yeah, a really interesting figure. Always put out little bootlegs of his own recordings made on 4-track cassettes and just gave them away to people around. Did he live in Chicago? Wherever he lived, anyway. A real underground outsider artist, but big influence on people like Flaming Lips and Wilco and, lots of it.
Wow.
Butthole. I think he played with the Butthole Surfers, Chad Fair, people like that he worked with. Lots of interesting stuff.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not all great. Like all great artists, you have to work through quite a dense
lot of work. And it sounds like he was fairly prolific as well, right?
But nothing got... everything came out. Everything got released. And that's a great song anyway.
Yeah, I liked that very much.
I'm no expert. I need to go and find out more myself. Anyway, there's a song here called Island of Doom. Do you want to put on the next?
Yes. This is Agnes Obel, the Danish, I think, singer, songwriter, who's got a couple of albums to her name. Very excited by this new album that's coming out called Myopia. I think it's out next Friday, which will be February the 21st, I believe. Because albums come out on a Friday now, right? Rather than Mondays. I mean, that's been going on for a long time now. I mean, the notion of an album coming out itself seems quite old-fashioned. Anyway, I've pre-ordered it, and you get 3 tracks to download. And the one I'm going to play is this has been around for a few months now. It's the single Island of Doom. Like everything she does, it's stunning, it's elegant, it's beautiful, it's wonderfully produced, written, played. She's amazing.
Oh, all right.
There I was going to tell a really bad joke about Philip Schofield then, but I'm glad I didn't.
Save it for after the track.
I'll save it.
Okay. Oh, we were going to do something after the last track, weren't we? A film diss.
Film diss, yeah.
Yeah, that didn't happen.
Got to work on that. Not enough time. Okay. Yeah.
So, after this song, film diss and Philip Schofield jokes.
Possibly. Thank you.
How good is that?
That's gorgeous.
Yeah, beautiful.
Lovely. Yeah, bit of bush in there, like you said, Paul.
Yeah.
Catherine Bush.
I think so, yeah.
But yeah.
But really, thing as really well. Beautiful sounds.
Yeah.
I think she records them all, I think she's got a home studio. I mean, by home studio, I don't mean a four track, you know, on a bedside table. I think she's got a very good home studio, but... I think she writes, produces, records it all at home, and I like what she does with, because it's got quite a it's got a very minimalist feel, but then she does a lot of clever stuff with like pitch shifting and I think I played one that she released on her previous album where it sounds like she's singing a duet with someone else, but in fact she's duetting with herself, but she's really lowered the pitch of her own voice to make it sound
it's a duet.
It's, I don't remember resonance. Playing that, and it's lovely.
Yeah,
such clever songwriting, I think. And she's playing live in the UK in April, the Apollo, the Eventim Apollo that used to be the Hammersmith Odeon, on Thursday the 9th
of April.
We had
a night out there.
We did
last year.
We did. Yeah. Well, maybe we should go and see Agnes if it's not all sold out.
Sure.
Just looking online now. £34 a ticket.
That's still cheaper than a Premiership football match.
Yeah.
It's
cheaper than Goldfrapper playing in Oxford.
Right.
Are they?
£50.
Really?
Whoa.
Yeah, in the O2 Academy, okay. Which is a terrible venue. £50 to go and see Goldfrapper, and it's like a warm-up show as well. Yeah.
In the O2?
£50.
That's a lot of money for the O2.
It's a lot, isn't it? It's a lot. That's, you know.
I'd want comfy seats for £50.
Yeah. and not as loud as they have it in the O2 as well. But yeah, they've still got tickets left. Actually, $31.75
Okay.
In the Circle at the Aventim Apollo. Should we do that, lads? Should we have an Edit Radio night out again?
Yeah, sure. When is that?
Thursday the 9th of April, 2020.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't see myself. I've got no idea.
No, it's too far ahead. I can't plan that far ahead.
Oh, that's all right.
April, February, March, April. That's April. 2 months
comes
away.
After March.
Yeah.
I mean, traditionally.
Now we've said this on air, those tickets are going to go like hotcakes.
Yeah, that's true, actually. Yeah.
We want to...
Because we're... what's the word?
Influencers.
Influencers, that's the word.
Better nail those tickets down, Ben.
We had nailed them down, or at least...
Yeah, before this podcast released.
Onto the thing that you used to clip tickets onto, as the saying goes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, I saw... We were talking a bit about Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, yeah. It's
I saw the movie Blinded by the Light. Which was written by
Is this part of our regular section called Film Diss?
Yeah, I'm not going to diss it though.
Okay, so I'm just
it's circumstantial because he was suddenly talking about tickets.
Sorry to
interrupt. And there's a great scene in it where he's desperate to get tickets to see Bruce Springsteen, and obviously it's the 80s, and he has to go to HMV and go up to the counter, and they've got them under the counter.
Yeah.
You know, and of course, obviously, because no one's bought any tickets because no one wanted to see Bruce particularly. Not in Luton anyway. But I really remember that going, oh, they're going to run out. They'll run out.
Yeah.
And it was hard to get to HMV in Exeter from Tiverton before about 10:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it was a bit of a mission. You had to get on the hay cart and then, you know, hitch a lift on a tractor, that kind of thing. So 10:30 was the earliest you could get there. And all the tickets for the mission might have been sold by then, but fortunately.
Mission?
Yeah.
I remember buying a ticket for Glastonbury at the Acorn Bookshop in Reading, which was like this alternative left-field hippie bookshop.
Wow.
And they never seemed to sell out.
How did the tickets get to the shops? Did they come out of a portal?
I think Mike Evers...
A ticket portal?
No, I think Mike Evers cycled there.
Yes.
From the West Country up to Reading.
Dropped off a few tickets.
To this shop under Chatham Street car park that sold books about hemp.
With his daughter, what's she called, that runs it now? Emily?
She was probably...
She was on the bike seat in the front as he was cycling around the country, dishing out tickets to alternative bookshops.
They just had a stack of tickets under the car. Now you've got to be online and registered and...
You've got to pre-register.
Pre-register.
And you have to give so much detail about yourself.
Yeah.
And you've got 20 minutes, if you're lucky, when you sell out.
Welcome to the section of the podcast where old men talk about how things used to be. Speaking of film diss, I watched the film called Yesterday recently.
Right. So this is a film diss or a film...
It's a diss.
Right, okay.
I'm not sure I liked it very much. Do you know the premise of the film? It's a Richard Curtis film directed by Danny Boyle, I think.
Right, okay.
And the concept is that somebody has a bicycle accident, wakes up, and he's the only person in the whole world who can remember who the Beatles are.
Everyone was talking about this 8 months ago, but anyway, carry on.
I've just seen it.
Okay.
And so he then becomes rich and famous by passing the Beatles songs off as his own.
Yeah.
And that's... The idea the filmmakers have, they seemingly have no real idea of where to go with that idea. It turns into some sort of moral fable where the moral is don't pass off the Beatles songs as your own. Mm. It's better to give them away for free. I mean, that's a lesson we can all learn from, right? And also, Ed Sheeran's in it a lot.
That's true.
Playing himself or a version of himself. I mean, he tries really hard at doing that.
It's better than his appearance in Thrones.
That's true. Let's not talk about Thrones. That is quite right. That is quite right. Yeah. And then it's got this awful ending where he, you know, he suddenly realizes that actually he is in love with the woman who blah blah blah, but he decides to tell her this by dragging her backstage when he's playing to a stadium full of people. Oh, I should have said spoiler alert, shouldn't I? Training a camera on her face while he decides to tell her he's actually in love with her, and has her react to this in front of 60,000 people in a stadium. I mean, what awful, horrible.
That's what love is about, isn't it?
Wish, yeah. Male wish, wish all, fulfillment.
Yeah. We've all done it, Ben, though. We've all done it.
We've all been there.
I mean, in my younger days, I used to do that, but now I'm much more woke and I would never dream of doing such a thing.
Do you know what really annoyed me about that film? I really think with Richard Curtis films, it's when they have gags, they're totally lowest common denominator because they're trying to make as many people find this ironically amusing as possible. And I think, I can't remember which part of the film it's in. He's searching Wikipedia or whatever for other things that maybe don't exist.
Because the Beatles don't,
The Beatles. Yes. And he searches for Oasis.
Yes.
And they don't exist.
Yes.
And he goes, oh, of course. And you're like, well, that is the biggest lie about Oasis. They sound nothing like the Beatles.
Yeah.
Not even close. There's a tiny similarity. They wrote songs with four chords sometimes.
They liked them in the Beatles.
And it's like, it makes me so angry.
Yeah. I totally agree with that. And if they'd wanted to make that joke, the band that he would have, only he would have remembered, would have been Slade. Slade are the ancestors of Oasis, not the Beatles.
That's
who they're like.
Exactly.
You know.
Or Quo.
Yeah.
But no, the whole premise, if that's the only ideas of the film, they nicked that idea from Goodnight Sweetheart.
Oh.
Yeah, there is an element of that for
when
sure.
When he went back in time, he was always playing Beatles songs and everyone thought they were his own.
This is true. I, like Richard Herring, got mildly obsessed with Goodnight Sweetheart and the mechanics of the time travel.
Very clever.
And the terrible man that this was, the main character in Goodnight Sweetheart.
Yeah, still having an affair, have you?
What an awful wanker he was. There was something weirdly sterile and joyless about the whole exercise as well. I found Goodnight Sweetheart.
It went on
that was the end of his career, wasn't it, Rodders?
Wasn't it his last
appearance in anything.
Yeah.
Don't know.
I should bring back butterflies.
Anyway, so how's our commitment to keep this podcast under an hour and a half going?
Hey, I'm going to say two words.
Well.
Paul?
Hey, what?
Drayton FC versus Hagbourne United.
Yeah, you see, I was going to give this a big preamble, but we've talked a lot.
Okay. Should we listen?
All I was going to say was...
You could give it a postamble.
You know, I've been thinking a lot about road noise, about soundscapes, and I think we need to do something about it.
Right.
Because I just don't think... You know, roads... They dominate the soundscape of the countryside, and that is not okay. It's got to stop. Okay. This is a football match taking place within 200 yards of the A34.
Right.
In Drayton.
Okay.
At the Lockway.
Good Lord. Get ready for this, people.
Yeah, unsurprisingly, Drayton were about 5-0 up at this stage. I say unsurprisingly because they're used to this, playing with this barrage of sound. And I doubt if anyone else can really hear, you know, what's being said. There's no point
the
shouting
whistle.
Man on, is there?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, unless you're within 2 metres of someone.
That's awful traffic, isn't it?
It's amazing. I mean, it really is. The air is thick with it. And it just, you know, to me, you know, I kind of thought it was interesting and... But more recently, I've been thinking we have to do something about it. It's not okay. This is what we've done to our countryside because we're desperate to get from one place to another really fast on a road. You know, you can do different things with the road surface, with tyres. You could do different things with sound baffling on the edge of the road, with barriers and so on. But we don't. We just let this cascade of white noise.
The village was there a long time before the A34, wasn't it?
Yeah.
They just put the...
Noise pollution. It's,
you know, and so then what happens, of course, is the people living in Drayton, you have to have double glazing, so you seal yourself off inside, you seal yourself off from the outside world, and that's not healthy. It's just not the right way to do things. And, you know, you often I was in Switzerland a few months ago, and I think in some places they take this much more seriously.
Right, right.
And they have fantastic kind of sound barriers alongside roads, so there is really almost no sound on the other side of the barriers. But for some reason, we just don't deal with this situation.
Good pitch. I entirely support your position. Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
I don't think it's okay.
What was the final score then?
7-0. Hagborn weren't much cop, I have to say. But
Drayton were all over.
But the soundscape was really helping Drayton.
Drayton?
Yeah, yeah.
They're all hard of hearing.
I was chatting to one of the spectators, or the one spectator, and I was saying, isn't it really hard for them to hit? She's saying, they're just used to it. You know, we're used to it, we don't really hear it anymore.
Don't notice it.
Yeah.
Wow, home advantage.
Yeah, absolutely.
Are you going to Cheshire United on the 22nd home game?
Which
Saturday,
one's that?
Saturday week? I can't remember who they're playing now.
I don't know.
Only I've heard that two BBC Five Live presenters, John Robbins and Ellis James, are going to be commentating.
That's right. Yeah, I have heard that. Yeah,
I think
I don't know why.
Because they've got to,
the Southern League.
They have to do a load of extra podcasts for their BBC contract. They've got to do about 40 podcasts in the next 2 months.
Okay.
So listeners are sending in ideas.
Right.
And Cheshire United got in touch and said, do you want to come and commentate our match? So they are.
Fantastic.
So
that's good.
We should go along.
We should do.
I think they're going to double their usual capacity crowd.
That's a plan. I'm definitely going to go and see them play Tiverton, obviously.
Yeah, but that's a movable date, isn't it? It depends on the weather.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, that's true, actually. Yeah, it's been cancelled 3 times. That sounds good. Yeah, that's a plan, Tom.
Hey, anyway, I think it's time for some Bruce. Why don't we start with another Bruce Springsteen cover before we play our Bruce cover? Good Lord, that's a hard thing to say. You brought Dancing in the Dark Ball by...
Hot Chip.
Okay. It's time for the Edit Radio Bruce Springsteen cover version challenge.
First entrant, Hot Chip.
I get up in the evening and I ain't got nothing to say. I come home in the morning, I go to bed feeling the same way. Man, I'm nothing but tired, I'm just tired and bored with myself. Hey there, baby, I could use just a little help. You can't start a fire. Start a fire without a spark. This gun's for fire. Even if we're just dancing in the dark. Messages keep getting clearer. Radio's on. Check my look in the mirror. Wanna change my clothes, my hair, my face. Man, I ain't getting nowhere. I'm just living in a dump like this. There's something happening somewhere. Maybe I just know. You can't start a fire without a spark. This gun's for
is how to cover Bruce Springsteen.
It's one way to do it, yeah.
So yeah,
I think
thanks,
we'll find some others.
Thanks to Joe and the boys for
thanks
from Hot Chip for sending that in. It's a good effort. Yeah, it's a good effort.
Done their best. Yeah, and obviously it goes into the LCD sound system track "All My Friends," I think.
Oh, right.
At the end.
Didn't spot that.
Okay. Yeah, in the outro.
So,
to be honest, can I just say what I think about that? I think it's, you know, when you hear Bruce singing it, it's coming from the heart.
Yeah.
It's very much coming from the head, this. It's very cerebral.
You know? I like that about it, though.
Yeah.
Oh, I know what you're saying.
It's cool.
Have you ever seen
Hot Chip? It cool.
Have you ever seen them live?
Hmm.
They're amazing, aren't they?
Yeah,
I think they're one of the best live bands I've seen. Yeah. They just, you know, they know how to work the crowd, and I don't know, they're really entertaining, brilliant. It just sounds amazing.
It always feels like it could fall apart at any minute.
Yeah,
yeah.
I might be wrong, but I think they said that with this track, it was really a live recording.
Oh, right.
So there were no kind of other layers. They just made a live recording in the studio of them playing this on their arpeggiators and so on. Yeah,
it's cool. Would you like to hear another Bruce Springsteen song?
Would love to, Tom.
Love to, yeah.
I
can never get enough of Bruce, I have to say.
I keenly covered a song. It's going to sound quite different to that. Uh-huh. It's just me and a guitar, and our friend Matt put a bit of pedal steel on it as well.
Sweet.
I had a go at I'm on Fire. So maybe we should listen to it first.
It's one of the greatest Bruce tracks, in my opinion.
Okay. Thanks.
Love this song.
Let's have a listen to it, and then we'll reflect on it, perhaps.
Sure.
Because I've got some issues about the lyrics.
Well, sure. Yeah. There is that.
Here it is.
Hey, look, is your daddy home? Got a bad desire. Oh, I'm on fire. Tell me now, baby, is it good to you? Can he do to you the things that I do? No, I can take you higher. Oh, I'm on up, she'd soaking wet, reaching through the middle of my head, and you cool my desire.
Nice, Tom.
There you go.
Yeah.
Very nice indeed.
That's beautiful, Tom. So I'm imagining you and Matt in your Cuban heels.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, white sleeveless T-shirt.
Yes.
Denims.
That's the way.
Is that how it was?
Yeah, with the big stars and stripes.
Maybe the neck scarf.
Behind us, yeah.
Yeah.
Getting a bit...
That's a beautiful sound. It's very good.
You're channeling the Nebraska era, Bruce.
Right, possibly, yes. A bit more...
Because that's off Born in the USA, isn't it? That track, I think.
It's quite an 80s production. There's a little drum machine goes through it and a little riff.
It's got a lovely synth line going all the way through it, which I really, really like on the original. But
I always thought that Born in the USA was about a Swedish tennis player. Born in the USA. That's what I thought. I didn't realise it was about the Vietnam War or...
But it was just about the time.
Yeah, I thought Bjorn it was just about to Flushing Meadow and
Well, for all we know, you could be.
I might be right.
Yeah, could be right.
Yeah.
You can come down. It's your house. Alice is walking across the kitchen. Just keeping quiet. Lyrically.
Well,
it's a kind of
what's going on, Tom?
My advice is to not really think about it.
Right. Well, I didn't until is it obviously a man here with some sort of sexual urges or something.
Yes.
And in the middle is this bit I hadn't really noticed before about someone taking a blunt, dull knife and cutting a valley in my head. Is that asking to have a frontal lobotomy to dissuade his urges, perhaps? I mean, I'd never thought about it until I sat there and tried to sing it.
I don't know. I'm going to have to look that up now. I'm going to ask you, is that... line in I'm on fire about a frontal lobotomy.
Google that.
See what I get.
Because there is, that's what I got took away from it. Here he is. Hey, little baby, is your daddy home? Only you can cool my desire.
But isn't that the whole song? He's just saying these are just various ways that he's metaphorically comparing his desire and how it makes him feel. And someone took a knife and
put a freight train through his skull. And,
yeah,
I don't know. So
he's a passionate man.
He's a very passionate man.
He is a passionate man.
I don't know if I was quite as passionate, but there you go. I started the ball rolling.
No, you cooled it down, Tom.
I cooled it down. Yeah.
Yeah.
The libido is quashed in my version. I'm no Bruce.
That's very good.
But I look forward to one of you following suit.
No, most definitely. I will have a cover version for you.
Do you not think that maybe what we could do is, I don't know, it might not be a great idea, but we could now cover that cover version. And then the next week... another of us could cover the cover version of the cover version. I mean, a cover of a cover of a cover. And see where
so
we end up.
Like very, very meta.
A sort of Chinese Whispers.
Sort of, yeah. It's a bit like...
until it becomes another song.
The classic experimental music track, I Am Sitting in a Room by Alvin Lucier. Are you aware of that track?
No.
It's brilliant. He sits in a chair recording the sound of his voice and he describes himself recording. He says, I am sitting in a room. Different from the room you are in now, I'm recording the sound of my speaking voice. He says this kind of text. Yeah. Then he replays that on a tape machine and records the sound of it being replayed into the room. And he keeps doing that again and again and again and again until all you get is the natural resonance of the room. All the speech is gone. It's like magic. It's sound magic. That's what it is.
So you're proposing we do a similar thing with I'm on Fire by the Boss?
Not really. I think that's a really bad idea. But, yeah.
No, I like it. I like it. And as we progress and go through the year, the cover versions maybe will magically get right back to Bruce's original somehow.
Yeah, yeah.
By December,
maybe. Let's see where that goes. Yeah.
If his lawyers don't intervene,
let's fly that kite and see.
True.
See what happens.
Let's play some other songs. I can't remember what this is now. Who brought this one? Something about I know it's over. You brought Morrissey.
Yes, it's Jeff Buckley singing I Know It's Over.
Ooh. Okay.
And it's a live version. He did record it, a studio version of the track. I was looking for songs about love, death and football to play in a class. And I thought this was an interesting song about love and death, in a way.
Not necessarily football.
No football in there, as far as I can see. But... and I found this. I just found this version as I was kind of, scrolling around the internet. And what it does is I think it gives the song a heart that Morrissey can't give it.
Ooh. Let's have a listen.
Thank you. can feel the soil falling over my head. And as I climb into an empty bed, oh well, enough said. I know it's over, still I cling. I don't know where else I can go. Over. Oh, mother, I can feel the soil falling over my head. You see, the sea wants to take me. The knife, it wants to slit me. Do you think you can help me? Sad veiled bride, please be happy. Handsome groom, give her room. Loud, loudish lover, treat her kindly. Though she needs you more than she loves you. I know it's over, still I cling. I don't know where else I can go. Over, over. I know it's over. It never really began, but in my heart it was so real. And you even spoke to me and said, if you're so funny, why are you on your own tonight? And if you are so clever, why are you on your own tonight? And if you are so very entertaining, why are you on your own tonight? And if you are so very good looking, why do you sleep alone tonight? I know, because tonight is just like any other night. That's why you're on your own tonight. With your triumphs and your charms, while they are in each other's arms. It's so easy to laugh, it's so easy to hate. It takes strength to be gentle and kind. Over, over, over. Yeah, it's just so easy to laugh, it's so easy to hate. It takes guts to be gentle and kind. Over. Love is natural and real, but not for you, my love. Not tonight, my love. Love is natural and real, but not for such as you and I.
Thank you very much. I'm done. It's a pleasure.
What a version. That's a stunning version, isn't it?
Yeah, that's really beautiful. I was really surprised to find it. And the album version is not like that. It's the album version is great, but it's nowhere. It's not even close to that.
God, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Wow, astonishing.
He just kind of takes the song and sort of, I feel like he sort of tells us what it's really about. It's not funny. It's not clever. It's not, you know, slightly bitter and passive aggressive. It's about the heart and.
That's it. There's the human experience, an ironic edge to Morrissey's delivery, wasn't there?
Yeah, yeah.
Like you say passive aggressive.
Yeah.
God, that's beautiful.
I thought that was great. Yeah.
Well, it's another epic podcast. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Jack. That was a bit of a showstopper, that track, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Maybe we should just cut while we're ahead. Maybe we should. We won't, because we've one more song to play.
Excellent.
Follow that. Who brought that track? That's up to you, Ben. That's me. Yeah.
You got to follow that.
Well, I feel like, you know, if people weren't sobbing by the end of that track, they will be by the end of mine.
Hey, that's what we want.
I went to see the Felice Brothers in Hove a couple of weeks ago. They were performing mostly tracks of their recent album, Undress.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know much of the Felice Brothers output?
A little bit, yeah. Very little.
I mean, fantastic band, American, I suppose, roots, rock, Americana type stuff. Yeah. Two brothers, Ian and James Felice from upstate New York, I believe. Ian, who sings most... I mean, they both sing. They're both great musicians, great voices. And live, they can be an absolute riot. I saw them at End of the Road Festival about 10 years ago. And they did a main stage gig, which was great. But then they did an inverted commas secret late night show in one of the tents. Absolutely packed. I don't know, 1 a.m, something like that. The band were just leaping around the stage. The whole tent was leaping around. It was one of the most exuberant, energetic, fun gigs I've ever been to. Yeah. Absolute riot. This most recent gig, not quite like that, and they've stripped down. They're a four-piece now. The two brothers, Ian and James Felice, are still the main, the founder members. They're still in the band, and they've got a new drummer, a new bass player, a bit of a sort of tortoise. Act now, but live, so good, so good. This album, Undress, is I think they lost focus a bit over the last couple of albums, but this is a real return to form. Okay. And I'm playing one of the more downbeat tracks of the album, Days of the Years, and it's one of those lovely songs where he just repeats the same tune through the song.
Right.
It just repeats over 4 minutes. I think that's such a clever trick if you can do that well in a song.
Yeah, and keep the attention.
You know, the Wilco song, One Sunday Morning.
Yeah.
Which is
about 12 minutes.
12 minutes. The same phrase, chords. Repeated. Yeah. Just, it's a really, really nice songwriting trick, I think, if you pull it off. Anyway, wonderful song, great band. I'd highly recommend this new album, Undress, and this is Days of the Years.
This will be our last track. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being here, Ben and Paul.
Thank you for
being here in your kitchen, Ben.
Yeah, no problem. Well, I was here anyway. You know,
nice.
Thanks for letting us in.
Yeah, it's been good.
Anytime.
Nothing else quickly before we go, is there? Can't think.
I did see one of the worst films I've ever seen, speaking of film discs. Oh, I'll tell you about it next month. It stars Matthew McConaughey and Anne Hathaway.
Okay.
It's one of the worst films ever. It's brilliant.
McConaughey has got some... He's got some form.
He's got form, yes. Oh, he's reached new depths.
Brilliant.
Next month we have film discs.
I can't wait. That's really cheering me up.
It's amazing.
One of you will cover Bruce Springsteen as well.
Yeah.
As well as dissing films.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Okay. Well, we'll see you then. Thank you for listening. And here is the Felice Brothers. What was the song?
Days of the Years. Beautiful, beautiful song that will send you home sobbing, listeners. Okay. If you weren't already finished off by I Know It's Over, you will be after this.
Thank you. Good evening.
Bye.
Goodbye.
See you next month. Bye.
Leaving my coat at the Greyhound station, raising my arms in supplication, making some money, spending some money, drinking Pepsi, just walking around, making people hate me, making people laugh.
fear, drowning in a shallow bath, feeling underdressed in the cold Midwest, kissing my grandmother goodbye, watching the crocuses bloom and fade, Easter bonnet from an old parade, exchanging pleasantries under pleasantries over griefs and aperitifs. These are the days of the year of my life. American summer and it's all a breeze. Bucktooth girls in skin-tight jeans. The mastiff heels, the accounts are solvent. I'm crooning in the open west, meeting my baby at a greasy spoon, sitting alone in the Rembrandt room, walking in the shade where lilies weep under clouds of marzipan, walking in the dark of Monument Valley, stray cats in a narrow alley. The song was weird, but still they cheered. It's scrambled eggs in solitaire. These are the days of the years of my life. Mopping up gore from the butcher's floor, feeling clean as a new drugstore, singing loud idiotic songs in the blue, blue mountains, walking along night-long drives on the wild edges, apparitions in the neighbor's hedges, sinus drips in battleship, putting ashes in a rushing stream, watching a city turn into sea, standing in water up to the knee, missing my stop on a city bus, in the land of propaganda. These are the days of the year of my life. Watching birds on a drowsy sea, sitting in the dark of a family tree, funeral flowers and paperwork, drowning my dreams in mountain streams, standing tall in a cap and gown in a house that's since torn down. It's summer in the Catskills now, leisure classes in the mountain passes, the jaws of life and the jaws of death, hearing secrets in a dying breath, in a black four-door sedan, down the road to the end of the world. These are the days of the year of my life. These are the days of the year of my life.